Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, we are so excited to have Gabriella Richardson here with us. She is a dynamic coach, consultant, and community leader who brings together intellect, empathy, and purpose-driven strategy to create lasting impact. As the founder of the Nexus Impact and the host of the Nexus of Narratives podcast, she specializes in blending data-informed insight with the power of personal storytelling to drive meaningful transformation. With a background in neuroscience and a career in the personal development industry, Gabriella supports individuals and organizations in uncovering belief systems, building conscious leadership, and fostering measurable growth. Her work bridges the internal and external, guiding people to align their values with their actions and create lives of intention. Today, we are going to have, I think, a riveting conversation with Gabriella, which I refer to as Gabby. And we are going to talk about beliefs, belief systems, how they shape us, and pivotal moments where we may look at our belief systems and see what's serving us, what's not, and, you know, see where that goes. But before we jump into that, I would love to hear more about you, Gabby, and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear more about you. And, you know, what is really exciting that's happening in your life right now and what your passions are?
Thank you so much. And it's such a powerful moment for me to listen to you share my background, because I don't often listen to my own self in that perspective. So I'm thinking as you're speaking, I'm like, wow, that's so purposeful. Like, it was such a beautiful moment to listen. And I'm like, wow, I really am living my purpose. So it was just such a beautiful moment for me. It's been a long journey to get there. So thank you. My name is Gabby. I go by Gabby, Gabriella. I have the gift of gab. I was appropriately named. And my life is so dynamic as well, just as anybody else. I'm a mama of a toddler. She's two, and she's feisty and fierce and fun and independent. And she is just such a delight. I have an incredible husband and just such a loving relationship, a partnership that past version of me would have never dreamed of having, and a past version of me that didn't think I deserved to have such light and love in my life and a partnership. And I'm so, so grateful for that and to have that in my life. I have a phenomenal little family, and I am so grateful to work alongside my purpose and call that a job is just such a gift, to work with people in finding what lights them up. And I believe there are so many ways that the world is being torn apart right now, and it's really important to find more spaces where we can come together as people. And I truly believe that if we silence all of that noise of this versus that, this is right, this is wrong, that we as people will find we have so much more in common than we are different. And so that's my passion and purpose, is finding more of those common threads of what unite us as people, so that we can really start to build more bridges in a time in the world that bridges are being torn apart between people. And part of that is done through my podcast. Part of that is done through the work that I do in coaching and in leading personal development classes. And I am very intentional about bringing that to every space that I'm in, whether it's formal or informal. And I truly believe that by creating more vulnerable and compassionate spaces, by modeling what vulnerability is, that we can create a more connected world. And so I'm grateful that I can be a part of doing that here today.
That's great, Gabby. In your introduction that you just talked about, I heard so many impactful key words, from building bridges to intentional, to purpose. And I think that there's all of these different through lines that I'm hearing from your personal life to your professional life. And I'd like to know a little bit more, maybe, about your journey to your professional career.
Yeah, it's quite eclectic. And I think there's a narrative that I grew up with that felt like a trap of you're going to go to school, you're going to get this degree, you're going to get a job that's within this industry, and then that's what your path is going to look like. It is going to be very clear and you're going to hit the different milestones. And I believe life is anything but that. And my path to my current role in the professional space is anything but a clear road. So my professional path was also very much paved by the beliefs that I had developed as I was growing up. And one of those was, oh, if I'm really smart and I do good and I'm a good Gabby and I follow the rules and I follow this pretend path, then I'll be enough. Then people will love me. And so one of the ways that I did that was I was an academic overachiever, and I developed this little thing that many of us know of called perfectionism. And so in order to follow that path, I had attempted to blend what I was told that I was going to do, which was go to medical school, and what I really enjoyed, which is human behavior. And there's a new path at the university that I went to. It was neuroscience, was a newer degree path. And so I thought, oh, well, this is going to be great. I can blend my have to do with what I love to do. And so I sought that journey. And I realized very quickly that the med school route was not for me. My brain does not work in the memorize and regurgitate kind of a way as many of our academic institutions are positioned to do. And so I started to explore research, and I was like, wow, I really love finding and solving problems and asking questions and answering questions or finding answers to questions I wasn't asking. And then I did research for a few years. So I like to say I dabbled in academia. I did working memory research in the memory and brain lab, which was such an incredible experience. And I felt like I could do different to create the impact that I felt my soul was craving. I knew I was making a difference, and I felt like the difference that I was meant to make was different. And I had felt so frustrated that I'd spent years to find a fun fact. And I was like, this isn't for me. Like, I have such a huge respect for the academic world and culture. And I just realized it wasn't for me. And I spent some time a little bit lost. I did the overeducated, under experienced kind of journey as a new grad. And I worked in the senior living industry for a short time and found this fantastic purpose in supporting people and building relationships and being of service to people. And then I was like, okay, so how can I find a blend where I'm serving people and I'm intellectually stimulated? And so I started working in nonprofit management. I worked for the Davis Finney Foundation for Parkinson's for about 5 years or just over. And I started doing social impact work with them later in my time with them. And that felt so purposeful for me to work with people in improving their communities, in coming together, building unusual relationships, and how to build lasting relationships in the community to create positive transformation. And as a part of that role, I was invited to be a part of a health equity narrative transformation team. And they were doing this pilot where they, it was a few different national organizations that had invited different social impact team members and influential people in social impact, preliminary like social justice, racial justice, and some healthcare spaces. And I was the only person in that group who represented someone who was going to work with a very disease-specific community. So sitting there with this imposter syndrome of like, wow, look at all these like really powerful and incredible social impact leaders. And I got to learn so much to become a facilitator of narrative transformation conversations. So I had the opportunity to train to lead some cohorts in how to develop transformative narratives. And that rocked my world in such a phenomenal way, as far as purpose in my professional world, that when one of the first things that they had said in this training was, if the language says we cannot, we will never think we can. We have this narrative in our culture that our systems are immovable and that they're unchangeable. So if we continue to talk about it like that, then people will always believe that they cannot change. So first, we have this wonderful opportunity to start changing the way that we talk about our systems so that they are more inclusive, so that they are more supportive, so that then the behaviors will follow. And that was just such a huge moment for me that I was like, oh, our narratives do drive our behavior and how we see the world and how we act within that world. And so that really paved the way for me to start to say, okay, there are common threads. So how do we start to find those? And I believe that was a fantastic tee up for me as I was doing my own personal development work, overcoming some extremely traumatic events in my personal life, and starting to learn more about how my past trauma had impacted the way that I was showing up day to day, that then to start working in the world of personal development and in the world of supporting people to overcome those little sneaky things that were kind of haunting their minds, whether they knew about it or not, which just like became so clear that I was like, this is where I'm meant to be. This is it. This is this like incredible blend of this eclectic background that doesn't seem to make sense if you were to just say neuroscience, academic, senior living, nonprofit management, social impact, mama, got a master's, and then worked in personal development. It doesn't seem like a clear road, but I also feel like the story makes perfect sense for me.
Yeah, as you were talking, it did seem like that. It seemed very organic. And it seemed to be driven by your desire to do what feels right for you. And also that you were coming up against all these narratives and that you had the self-awareness to see where those narratives are shaping where you're going, what's expected of you, how you show up. Can you speak more to how our narratives and our beliefs shape us and, you know, some of the things that you have come across in Nexus of Narratives, some stories that you've heard, even whether personal or just ones that you've heard on your podcast that have that same shape or form where people are looking at different narratives, how they shape us, and then shifting those narratives and rewriting those narratives and claiming those narratives for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as you were sharing that, the first thing that came to my mind is in the space that I'm in the personal development world, the classes that are taught, we share a really valuable piece of research that it was so funny that as someone who studied neuroscience and really studied behavior that I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And so it's that our beliefs as people are like 90%, 95% of our beliefs are developed before we're 18. And it takes like really big moments as an adult to really like change some of that, you know, like to put it in a more tangible way is like, okay, so the first 18 years of our lives, and even maybe in your utero, that we're developing these hardwired paths of, okay, if we have some kind of like network or system, we're like, oh, okay, this happened. I'm creating this meaning of it. We're meaning making machines as people. We're hardwired for survival, just as animals. And then with this higher level of thinking that we have as humans, with the way that our brains developed, here we are making meanings about everyday things that probably don't have a meaning. Same thing can happen to all three of us, and we will create a different story about what it means because we all have different experiences. We've developed different beliefs based on how we were raised, the different events that happened in our lives. So we're developing these like inputs and outputs as we're developing our beliefs. This happened. This is a meaning that was made. This happened. This is what happened. This is how I avoid pain. This is how I stay safe. This is how I create connection. This is how I get love. This is how I feel belonging. This is where I'm safe. 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 So then our brains are so incredible that as they're hardwired for survival, we receive so much sensory input that if we processed all of the sensory input that we receive, we would be constantly overwhelmed. So our senses filter what information we're receiving. And so things like heartbeats, we don't have to think about every time our heartbeats. We don't have to think about making sure that our blood flows in the right direction at the right time to control the right things. We don't have to think about every time we blink our eyes. It all happens in the background. And that's part of what's so incredible about our systems. Same thing happens with our beliefs. We develop all of these beliefs and then they run in the background. So we have these automatic responses that are formed by what we don't know that we don't know. They're happening completely under the surface. And there are these automatic survival mechanisms that we've developed. And it's really incredible. And it doesn't mean it's hopeless to change. It just means like, oh, okay, I need to become aware of what I don't know that I don't know about myself. And so that is something that as a culture, like driving back to how does this inform our narratives? And so, you know, this first period of time, we're developing these beliefs and these narratives that are very much shaped by our media, the people that we're around, our family systems, our social systems, our subcultures of where we are raised, and not right, wrong, good, or bad. It's a result of the bubble that we grew up in. And that's okay. And so then we have all of these things that are happening in the background that we don't really realize are completely driving the way that we show up in the world. And so as we start to become more aware, typically it's moments that we're like, man, this just like really isn't working. I don't like this. I don't want my life to feel like this. It's those like critical confrontational moments that we have, whether with others or with ourselves, that we're like, man, this just like isn't working. And sometimes it's as simple as a gut feeling. And sometimes it's as monumental as a catastrophic event in our lives, a death, a divorce, a giant fight, a huge accident, some kind of existential something. Or it can be something as simple as my husband said this thing to me and it just elevated my nervous system. And now I'm showing up in a completely different way because now there's this whole other path that's happening in the background that's now taking over. And so these moments, we have an invitation to say, oh, what's going on here? Is this serving me? And if we don't just continue to react and we have a moment that we can take some stillness and be like, huh, why do I have this feeling in my body? What's going on? I know something's wrong. Just like tuning in. If we have that moment in some of those interactions where we're like, okay, something's off. We have an opportunity to check in and make a choice. We always have an opportunity to make a choice and develop some awareness, get a little curious. I like to say whenever there's that kind of like moment in our bodies where we're just like, something's off. Typically in our bodies, we can sense when there's a misalignment somewhere, something's not right. We feel like our beliefs were attacked or something went wrong. It's an invitation. Okay, what do I feel like is in misalignment? What do I feel like is in conflict? And if we open ourselves up to really explore that moment, then we can say, oh, okay, it looks like maybe my beliefs were poked at. Where did those beliefs come from? What was kind of shaken? And then the invitation comes of, well, what is the decision that I'm going to make to go forward? And am I going to continue to choose the path that I've been on? Or would I like to make a different choice, a different conscious choice? And it's those moments where there is a feeling of something, misalignment, that then we can also be really mindful of our language. You talk about shifting those narratives. So if the invitation is, this isn't effective, this isn't working for me, this isn't working for what I want to create in my life, in my community, in my family, in my systems, then what I think the really big invitation is there is, how am I using my language to shape the path that I am or am not going on? So for example, if someone feels betrayed by, you know, going back to this health equity area, if someone feels betrayed by an insurance system or a health system, and they say, well, it's never going to change anyways. That's just how insurance is. It's corrupt. Then they're putting themselves in a position of defeat and stagnance. And then that's just going to continue to be a broken thing. Whereas if someone says, I was betrayed by this system, and the system doesn't have to be that way. I am frustrated by the system. I have a terrible feeling in my body because I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I feel bad about being betrayed by this system that I thought was designed to serve me and be supportive for me and help me. Okay, now does the system have to be like that? No. We all made up all the systems that we have. Someone made it up. So what is it that's creating this system? And it takes a curiosity. Okay, so system is working for some, not working for many. So what is that? How can I be a part of ensuring that the system is going to be more effective for me? And then the transformation of language. Because if I was to say, no one can change it, then that's it. It's finite. The door's closed. But if I say, okay, someone made this up. So how can I learn more about this system? Learn more about how it was formed. Learn more about how it evolved. Learn more about what is and isn't working in it. Then is there an opportunity for me to be a part of choosing different? And it starts with that language, because our language so deeply drives our behavior. Our language is a reflection of those beliefs that are happening in the background. And our language is a reflection of how we're paving our path in the future. It's that first piece. And so it is the first invitation to start transforming how we talk about all of the different systems, whether it's personal or cultural, and how we want to align that with where we are going in our lives. Does that answer your question? I feel like I'm very good at going big route there.
Absolutely. That was a very thorough and fascinating answer. And I know, Erin, you were going to say something.
Oh, no, I agree, LaShawn. I found that as you were explaining, Gabby, this process and responses, it aligns with coaching and a lot of the coaching concepts we have been talking about on this podcast, everything from perspective shifting to being curious to listening to our bodies. All of those things are powerful tools and strategies and can be, I think, more and more refined and used and adapted through that coaching lens and through the coaching process. So as you were talking, I was like, oh yes, this all feels like a coaching process in some ways of going through this and storytelling as a narrative. Yes, it's another key tool to use as coaches, both with ourselves and with our clients. So I really enjoyed everything you talked about. And one thing you mentioned about the language and some clarity around that, it's something I do often with my grief support and being more clear about what people are truly feeling and thinking. And we use some exercises around that. And one question I guess I have, Gabby, for a little more clarity is, I know this podcast is about beliefs. And how do you define beliefs versus values? Are they different? Are they the same? Why choose the belief word?
Yes. So I'm so glad you asked that. And there are some different schools of thought in this. So if we were to think of anywhere from our values to our behaviors as this different layers, say in the earth that or in the whole planet or whatever geography that is us as humans, and we're good to go to do a little excavation, at the core depth are our values. They are the things that are, they're the fewest, and they are the strongest drivers in what matters to us as people. And so when we're born and as we start to come up, we develop these very core values as people. And they can be, like for me, it's as simple as like do no harm to others, or be of service is a really deep value that I hold. And values can look different across different people, but they're very few and they're very core to who we are and how we show up. And they are a common thread for, you know, if we're in alignment, I like to say if we're in alignment, then the way that we show up and the way we behave in all sorts of different spaces are aligned with our core values. And then if we're to take a step out in this excavation, the next layer would be belief systems, beliefs and belief systems. And those are tied to our values. And they influence how we behave still as we're heading out to the behaviors, but they are rooted by our values. And maybe they're not, but if we are aligned, then they are rooted out of those values. And they're more vast. There are more of them. And they are almost intertwined like a network. So I could value human life and value that people should not be harmed. And through that, I believe that we should have systems in place by people of power that support human life and human worth and that support eliminating illness, because then that supports human life. I believe that people shouldn't murder others because that supports human life. I believe that people shouldn't intentionally harm other people because I value human life. And so I'll have all of these different beliefs that are stemmed off of this value, and then those different beliefs will connect with one another. And so that's what I see as the difference between beliefs and values. And they're often, it's really funny. I did a lot of research on these and the difference in this, and I created like a diagram of this excavation and what the different layers would be. And the research is like, beliefs and values often are used interchangeably in language, very often. And it's very common. And I think what matters most is that we are effectively communicating the difference in what it means for us, because as a culture, they are interchanged often. And just for the sake of, because I love this image and this thought pattern, and is continuing this excavation, the next layer towards the surface of our behaviors would be more about like our attitudes and our emotions that are then developed as a result of, okay, are my values and beliefs being attacked? Okay, my emotions are now going to be on high, right? And then our emotions at the next layer up, our emotions often drive our behaviors. And then those behaviors create the results that we have in our life. And so what I like to say is, we as people, if we get too caught up in the external world and what's happening and lose connection with the core of our values, we get trapped kind of bouncing around, reacting to, okay, here are results. Now I'm emotional. Now I'm going to react to it. Now I'm going to have different behaviors and results. Now I'm emotional about those results. So I'm going to have different behavior. And you're just kind of like, people often bounce between emotions and behaviors. And they're just like bounce, 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 bounce. Especially in an environment that's so highly stimulated and driven to react based on feelings, which I think is one of the critical flaws in a lot of our media, is it's driving high emotions. And so then we're just like behavior, emotion, behavior, emotion, behavior, emotion. And we're not so often like going so deep to check in with what is the value that I feel like is being under attack right now? What is the belief that I feel like is under attack right now? We're just so stuck reacting that we don't give ourselves enough opportunities to really check in. So that's what I would see as the difference between the values and the beliefs and how it scaffolds all the way up to the results that we have in our life.
Yeah, that was a very clear example or a clear answer. And it was really easy to see those connections. And one thing that came up is what you had mentioned at the top of our episode was those pivotal moments that can kind of rock your foundation, or that can cause you to kind of pause. And this goes back to the invitation when you're feeling misaligned or you're feeling like something's not quite right. In those pivotal moments, what would be a good way to respond to that and to be able to answer that invitation in a way that best serves the individual?
Yeah, and thank you for that question. And I think it's such an individualized experience. So it also reminds me back to an earlier question of some of the themes that I've noticed in Nexus of Narratives. And based on my experience of my own life and my experience of others, it's definitely not an answer that's applicable to every human, because I know a certain subset of humans. Is I would generalize to say my experience of people as a whole is we want to be loved and accepted for who we are. We want authenticity. We want something genuine. We want connection, and we want meaning and purpose. And the pivotal moments are those moments where, like, I like to joke, like life kind of smacked you in the face, or pivotal moments can also be something that's a lot more silent and small. It can be the, just like a little paper cut, but then, you know, 10,000 paper cuts, it's a pretty big result. Or it can be something huge and like earth shattering. And so I see those moments. So, okay, an event happens, boom, event. And then there's some kind of response in our bodies. And I think the most important thing that we can do as people is offer ourselves the space to check in. And I think it is that simple. I think the way that our culture is set up at the moment invites us to be much more reactive in the immediate moment. And I do not believe that is the most effective way to touch into our true values as people. I think one of the best things that we can do is be like, whoa, that hit me. That my nervous system is elevated. So to develop this awareness and say, whoa, that hit my body. That shook me in a way. And then take a moment to check in. And it can be just a couple of seconds. If it's something that's sort of small, it can be a quick check-in like, oh, what was that? Oh, okay, it hit this thing. And as more self-awareness is developed, I've noticed it becomes easier and faster to touch on where a belief or a value was poked or shaken. And sometimes if it's something really big, then it can take a bit of time. So it takes an awareness to then check in and say, what do I need to regulate, take the nervous system down, to settle my nervous system, regulate my nervous system, regulate my body, and then have a check-in on where I feel I am aligned or misaligned. And what was that moment? And then the invitation comes, okay, how am I going to respond? How am I going to align my behavior with my values so that action can be a direct alignment from values to beliefs to emotions and attitudes to behaviors and then the results that you have as opposed to the reaction. So it can take longer or as, you know, more practice, it can be faster. But I think the first thing is curiosity, what's going on? Why do I feel this way? And giving the space to check in.
I love that. And I guess one question that sort of relates, but is just really present for me right now is just to ask you, Gabby, you know, who inspires you or what inspires you, or maybe who and what inspires you?
It's a great question. I've been grappling with that. I feel really inspired when I feel purposeful. So even conversations like this, I find really inspiring when I think hope inspires me. It has to right now in this world. Connection, those moments where there's a very specific moment in people where they hear something that resonates with them. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I can do it. Oh, that aha moment that people will have. And I think anyone who's in any kind of coaching world might recognize that moment. That's like when something clicks in someone else, that then supports driving them in a direction where they can be a bigger and better version of themselves. That's incredibly inspiring for me. I'm also inspired by like art and music and dance and the wonder that my toddler brings into this world, reminding me just like how magic the ordinary things are. It's like something so beautiful in that. And I think if we allow ourselves and if I allow myself, anything can be inspiring. Because we do have so much good in our world. And there are so many gifts, no matter how tragic different moments are. So if I invite myself to shift my perspective towards that, I think I can be inspired by just about anything. I said those words out loud to you, but they were definitely for me as well.
I mean, I felt inspired.
It's funny, those moments where I don't know how often they happen to you, but they happen to me all the time with the nexus of narratives. So I'll just be in a flow and I say something out loud and I'm like, that was for my conscious brain. There was something that was happening in the background that came out and I'm like, that's also for me. So thank you.
Yeah, there's so many sparks of inspiration throughout this conversation. And is there anything else that you would like to add about, you know, this topic, what we've been talking about, anything that you would like to share?
Well, I think it's up to you, depending on kind of where you want to go. You know, I'm happy to share any specific stories of my own, whether it's today or another day. I think the one thing that stands out to me as I think about how this conversation is going is I want people to know to not lose hope. And to not give up. I think right now it's so easy to feel overwhelmed and defeated by all of the things that are not working in our world right now. And there are payoffs to everything that we do and that we don't do. To surrender to something that's not working, you know, there's payoff in not having to change, right? It's hard. And, you know, it's kind of like sometimes we as people can surrender to the, I don't like this, this isn't working, but it's the only thing I know. So I'm just going to fold. I've been there many times in my life. And we also have a really wonderful opportunity to say, I want to be a part of what's right. in the world. And because I care about the world and because I care about the future of this world for future generations, because I care about what's deeply valuable to me, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to take that check-in with my body and with myself. So like my invitation to people is to not lose hope, because that's the easy way out right now, I think.
Well, that's a good coaching nugget of wisdom. So just to talk a little bit about the process for ourselves here at the end. At the end of each episode, LaShawn and I each offer a coaching nugget of wisdom that we gleaned from the conversation. And then after each of us share forward our coaching nugget of wisdom, Gabby, you'll have an opportunity to share yours. Although I know it sounded like that was a really thoughtful one on hope. I mean, yes to all of it. And I think for me, a coaching nugget of wisdom that resonated for me was that idea of checking in. I used to work where I was in back-to-back meetings all day, every day, no breaks. And I feel like I was tethered to the system rather than having choice in how I could take a break here and there. And now having some time away, yes, I have a busy schedule in the work that I do right now, but I also am much more intentional about where I can find grace in my day, where I can check in, because that simple act of just taking a break and checking in with ourselves makes a huge difference. I mean, it makes a huge difference in my own day. So I think that's one of the coaching nugget of wisdoms from our conversation today that you talked about that I just want to pull forward again and say, find those small moments, you know, 20 seconds, starting with, you know, one breath, right? And go from there. It doesn't have to be much and it can make a huge difference.
Yeah, that's beautiful. My coaching nugget of wisdom, somewhere along the lines of what continues to come up in this conversation and a lot of how Gabby prefaces, how you preface your statements, the idea of individualized experiences, how personal this experience is. And I see an invitation there to our listeners to, yes, take that moment, tap in and see, how are you showing up? Like, what's your personal blueprint? Maybe you can dive deep and look at your values, or even just take a surface response to it and just kind of check in with your body. How is this showing up in your body? Where are you feeling it? And just really taking the time to get curious about yourself on a personal level and how you are responding or reacting to the things going on in your life, outside of your life, and learn something. Maybe take the time to learn something about yourself and how you're showing up.
Incredible. Absolutely. So the coaching nugget of wisdom that I would like to add is very much reflective of where I am in my life right now, being someone who's so used to building on what you'd shared, Aaron, is like go to go, 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 back to back meetings, is accept the invitation to slow down and just be. We've all made everything up. Every system that's in place, everything that we have, it has been made up. So accept the invitation to slow down and set your own boundaries and take care of yourself first. It's the, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first. The more that we can slow down, the more that we can show up intentionally and be the best version of ourselves.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. We have been speaking with Gabriella Richardson, or Gabby, and we are just so happy to have her on our podcast. And please tell our listeners where we can find you.
Yes, I am on the internet. So you can connect with me and find me through the website of my podcast. So that's www.nexusofnarratives.org. And that same handle for Instagram or Facebook. And you can email me from there, and I'm the person who gets it. So I'd say that's the easiest way to find me.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.